Zion City, I through grace a member am. Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know.
Okay. Good singing. Good hymns. All right, go back to Psalm 48 and let's read verses 12 and 13 again. These will... make up the title of the message and principal part, verses 12 and 14. King David, who wrote this, tells us to walk about Zion. Walk around Zion. Go around about her and tell or count the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following. We're going to take tonight a walk about Zion. I started to entitle this A Tour of the Holy Land. I'm not trying to be clever, but that's what this will be. Zion. Much said about Zion in the Scriptures. Especially the Psalms. Zion is the name of that flat-top mountain upon which Jerusalem was built. Mount Zion. The whole city of Jerusalem is built upon that flat-top mountain called Mount Zion. But it's especially referring to the place where Solomon's temple stood, right in the middle. Right in the center of Mount Zion. Now, the first mention of this name, Zion, ironically or, well, providentially, I mentioned this Sunday morning that there were some inhabitants called Jebusites. Jerusalem, that's what the name Jerusalem comes from, Jebu. And these original inhabitants of Jerusalem were called Jebusites. All right? And over in 2 Samuel 5, you don't have to turn, but they were in Jerusalem, dwelling there. And God told David to go up and take that city, claim it. And David went there and stood outside the walls, and that's when those people said, he can't come in here. That's that story, that very story that I mentioned Sunday, if you remember. The people, the Jebusites, said, David can't come in here. And the next verse says, nevertheless, David took it, the stronghold of Zion, that mountain, the stronghold. He took it, which is the city of David. I thought that was interesting, providential. But as with everything in God's Word, Zion is a picture, a spiritual picture. Jerusalem, if you'll read for yourself in Revelation 19 and other places, talks about the city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It's a spiritual place. Zion... it's always been a picture of the church. We just sang about it. The church. The city of God. The people of God. Zion represents the church of God. The temple of God. The place where God dwells. This is where God dwells with His people. God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. But He dwells in His people, in the midst of His people. Now, it may be interesting to go over there and take a tour of the so-called Holy Land. I didn't think it ever said that in Scriptures, but it does. In Zechariah, it calls Jerusalem the Holy Land. It's the only time. And it may be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing it. But it would not do you any spiritual good. It wouldn't do you any spiritual good. The dirt over there is just like the dirt here. There's nothing holy and sacred about it. Nothing. Nothing. It's just dirt. It would do you no spiritual good. Besides, you don't have to travel all that way to take a tour of the Holy Land. We're going to do it tonight. And save you a lot of money, too. Walk around Zion. That's what this is about. I want you to look at Zion with me. But first, we're going to begin where David began and where everything began. Verse 1. Great is the Lord. This is how he ends this up. He ends this by talking about this God. Well, what God? This God is our God. What God? Verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, Mount Zion. Great is the Lord. Now this is, and greatly to be praised. This is chiefly why we come here. This is why we come here, not to see the city, but to see the Lord of that place. We come to church not to see the church, not to see His people, although we're glad when we see them. David said, "They that fear Thee will be glad when they see Me." David said, "I'm a companion of those that fear Thee." That's who God's people, that's who they're companions of, God's people, their family. But we don't come here to see one another, per se. We come here to see the Lord of this place. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city. Like Sheba. You know the story of Sheba, who went to see Solomon. And it says when she got there, she was taken up with the place. She saw the city. She saw Jerusalem. She saw the temple. She saw the table that Solomon spread. And she saw the food that was on the table. And she saw the servants. And she saw all of that. But when she saw Solomon, when she saw him ascend, it said, go up to his throne. That's when it said there was no more spirit left in her. That's when she bowed. That's when she knew she was in the presence of someone much greater than her. And she went away from that place not talking about the temple, but rather talking about the wisdom of Solomon. And so that's why we come here. That's why God's people come here, because great is the Lord. What's His name? You remember our study in Exodus? Jehovah. Anytime you see the word, the name Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the name Jehovah, which means the Eternal One, the Self-Existent One. Do you remember that study of Jehovah? When we first looked at that, when God said, I'm known by you by the name of Jehovah, the Eternal One, the Self-Existent One, needing no one, needing nothing, all complete in Himself. Do you remember that? Great is Jehovah. This is our God. This God is our Lord, our God, great in His person. That's what we come to do here, admire His person. Great in His person, holy, just, sovereign, and on, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent. Great in His power, in His works, creation. David wrote song after song about God's power, particularly Psalm 19. It says, the heavens declare His glory, the firmament showeth His handiwork. The works of the Lord are great to be praised of all them that know Him. Great is the Lord in His works of creation, but the greatest work of all is called so great a salvation. It took a great God to do this great salvation. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And therefore, that's what we do in the city, in Mount Zion, in the church. That's why we come here. If you come here for any other reason, you'll go away without having profited. If you come here to see the Lord of this place, if you come to hear from Him, you come to be blessed by Him, to be taught by Him, to receive from Him, you go away poor. You go away blessed. That's why we come and that's what we do. God said He seeketh such to worship Him. Worship Him. So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, that is Zion, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful, verse 2, for situation. The joy of the whole earth, that is, people from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue came to Jerusalem. That's where they came. They still do. They still do, but He's not there. He's risen. He's not over there, but He's here. And wherever God's people are meeting in His name. The beautiful for situation is Mount Zion, sides of the north. That is, it's above the earth, the world. It's a city of the great King. It's a beautiful place, the situation in which it stands or which it is built. I wish I could show you a picture, an actual picture of the original. Jerusalem doesn't even resemble when it was first built. But it was supposed to be the most beautiful city on the earth. It was built on a plateau, Mount Zion, a flat-top mountain. And on either side of it were, all sides of this mountain were valleys. Valley of Kidron, the valley of other valleys, all around it. And when you were up on top of this mountain, you could see all around. It was a beautiful situation. A beautiful place, not unlike Pitz of Otter. Some of us went up there, didn't we? Huh? And when we were standing up there, that was a beautiful situation. That's what, it's not unlike that at all. It's like that. You see, from Mount Zion, you can clearly see. Up from this lofty pedestal, you can clearly see those heavens which declare His glory and the firmament to show with His handiwork. There's not a believer in here that didn't stand on top of that mountain and think of God's creation. Huh? That's what you thought of. The heavens, you can clearly see His glory, His handiwork. And from up here, you can clearly see, like Psalm 24 says, the whole earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It'd be good for all of us to take a plane ride someday. And when you see things from a so-called bird's eye view, when you see things from up high, you see them for what they are. Little or nothing. Just like ants scurrying around. And you get up amidst the clouds, which the Scripture said are the dust of His feet. And you look down on this. You know, you look down on the things of the earth from up there, and it all looks so insignificant and so small, don't they? The finest home, you can't distinguish it from the others. They all look the same. The finest city, on and on it goes. They all look the same. Well, you can't see things clearly till you get on top of Mount Zion. You know that? You can't see things clearly till God puts you on top of Mount Zion. Till He puts you in your church and puts you in your right mind, gives you eyes to see. And a mind to understand, a heart to receive. You can't see things clearly. You think this world is you can't see it for what it is until you get up on top of this lofty mountain. That makes sense? It's a beautiful situation. And you who have been put in this place, you've been put in a good situation. Ah, beautiful. David said in Psalm 84, my favorite psalm, how amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord. That's the time when David was on the run and he couldn't worship in the temple or in Jerusalem. And he envied the birds that were sitting up in the rafters watching the people. He envied the birds. He said the birds found a place, a nest for their young, habitation. I'd like to just be a bird. And he went on to say, I'd just rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of isn't this a good situation? Good situation. Beautiful. Beautiful place to be. Beautiful people. City of the great King. Mount Zion. I gotta go. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. God is known in every house. Every person
dwells in this place knows this God.
Yes, sir. They know He is God. They know He reigns. He rules. He's known by them all. He's loved by them all. And all of them, He is their refuge. God is our refuge. They all run to Him. They all hope in Him. They all resort to Him. They all confide in Him. They all trust in Him. And they all live, move, and have their being in Him. He's known by all the inhabitants thereof as their refuge. They dare not trust or look to or run to or confide in anyone or anything else. But God is their refuge. Everybody knows that, that dwells in Zion. Verses 4 through 7 talk about how the enemies of Mount Zion, the enemies of God, would approach this city and try to take it. Let's just read down through there. Lo, the kings were assembled, and lots of them assembled themselves together and tried to destroy it. They passed by together. They saw it. And they marveled at it, but they were troubled. Something troubled them, and they hasted away. They left. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. And he went on to say, even the ships from the shore, or from the ocean, from the sea, were blown away. Blown away. And he said, we've heard this, verse 8. We've heard about it, we've read about it, and we've seen it in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God, that God will establish it forever. Mount Zion. And he says, he uses the word Selah. That means, whenever you see the word Selah, it means stop and think about this. Now, it would do well for us to stop and dwell a while and look into church history. It'd all do well. If you ever read any church history, you get a great blessing out of it. Because what you will see more than anything else, what will stand out, is God's sovereign hand. God's protection of His people. That no matter what and who came against it, He held it in the palm of His hand. We would do well to study, and I urge you to do so, to read some church history. Book of Acts, maybe that's what we ought to study. But we would see how greatly persecuted God's people have always been in every generation. Starting with Abel. Right? Starting with Abel, the blood of Abel, and all of his martyrs and all of his church down through the years. The church has been persecuted and hated by everyone. And our Lord said that it would happen to all of His people. He said, don't marvel, brethren, if the world hate you. You shall be hated of all men for My name's sake, My glory's sake, My person's sake. And true believers, the true church has always been outnumbered. Always been outnumbered. And the world at large, in general, was vastly outnumbered the church, God's people. You take Noah and his family, for instance. I told you that estimates have it that there were as many as from 7 to 11 billion people on the earth. But 8 souls got on a boat, got on a ship. Don't you know how persecuted they were? 120 years persecuted. And things haven't changed. Truth is still in the minority. God's people are still in the minority. But here's the thing about it. No matter who, what, when, the Scripture says nothing that is formed against her shall prosper. Now, literally, God uses that little place called Jerusalem as a symbol of His power. It's a symbol, though, of His church, because it's always been, as we said, in the minority. But literally, God has used Jerusalem as a symbol of His power. Because over there in the Middle East is a little place. Look at it on a map. Look how small it is. Right in the heart of that Middle East is that little bitty... You have to look real hard to find it, don't you? And in that place, God put a building on top of a mountain.
and told the whole world, all right, have at it. And even today, Sam, even today, the whole Arab world around it wants nothing more than to level it. They can't do it. They can't do it. No weapon. Well, what if terrorists get an atomic bomb? Try it. It'll be done. No weapon. Now, you understand where I'm coming from here. That place is not God's temple. It always represented God's true church. True temple, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. His temple. In Him we live and move. In Him we dwell. He's the tabernacle of God who dwells among us. But, like I said, God, to show forth His power, cleared off that little hilltop, put a building up there and said, try to knock it off. And Mount Zion, city of the living God, there it stands. Verse 9 and 10, He says, we thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple. Loving kindness. We like this word, don't we, Jeanette? Loving kindness. The Old Testament, the word for grace is loving kindness. That's the word for grace. It's a good definition of grace. Loving kindness. Whoever you love, you show kindness to. You give. That's kindness. To give. Whoever you love. We've thought of your loving kindness. That's why we come here. To think on His loving kindness in the midst of the temple. Verse 10. According to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. According to Thy name, so is your praise. Those that know His name put their trust in it. Psalm 9:10 says. According to His name, so is His praise. There's a lot of people draw near with their lips. A lot of people call Him Lord. They don't believe He's Lord. But we praise Him as Lord. We call Him Lord. Great is the Lord. The name Lord means sovereign. And buddy, that's what it means. And that's why we worship Him. That's who this God is, our God. They may call Him Lord, but He's only Lord because they make Him Lord or let Him be Lord when He wants to be Lord or when they want Him to be. That's not our God. We saw that Sunday, didn't we? How that old Nabal was David. Was David Nabal's king only when Nabal let him be king? Nabal found out too late, didn't he? He found out too late that David was his king all along. And it would have been his salvation for him to bow to Him right then and there. Not accept Him as His personal. That's blasphemy. King doesn't need a peasant's acceptance. Won't you please let me be your... He wouldn't be much of a king if he's begging peasants to accept Him, would he? Oh no. This, according to His name, so is His praise. Lord Jesus. Now, we love that name. We don't call the Lord of glory by His first name, though. I don't think people know Him that use that name flippantly like they do, familiarly. Call Him by His first name. They don't call the President of the United States that. They've never called a king, ever called a king that was much of a king by his first name. Now, some may ignorantly have called him that. But once they get to know who he is, they call him, Sir, Lord, Jesus. But now, according to his name, so is his praise. When we say Jesus, we mean Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus because this is what it means, Savior. He didn't try to save anybody. He didn't come down here to make an attempt to save anybody. His name is Jesus, and that's why He came, and that's what He did. According to His name, so is His praise. In the temple, in Zion, people out there are using that name carelessly, not us. We'll use it and praise Him. Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, that means Messiah. Only one who can get us out of this mess. Messiah, the woman's seed, the brazen serpent, Messiah.
the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Intercessor, the Covenant Head, Messiah, Christ. According to His name, so is His praise. His right hand is full of righteousness. full to give it to whoever needs it. It's full. Anybody need it? Anybody need it? All you got to do is ask. Can't work, can't earn an ounce of it. You get all of it. You just ask. Read on. Verse 11 says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice." Can you rejoice over all you've heard thus far? "Let the daughters of Judah be glad." You glad? Oh, in this glad hour, that's what makes us glad. Everything we've heard thus far about our great God, about His Christ, makes us glad. Let us be glad. Don't be sad. Be glad. God's people ought to be the happiest. Really. It's a paradox, really. They're the saddest, yet the happiest. They're the weakest, but the strongest. They're the loneliest, but they're never alone. And on and on. They're down there. The Lord judges His people. Meaning, He deals with all His people. Everything about them. Everything about you, the Lord deals with. You're in His hands. He makes judgments, that is, dealings. He takes care of everything about you. I tell you how much He takes care of you. Every hair on your head is numbered. Now, if your hair is so important, I mean, if the numbers of the hair on your head is God sees to that. What do we got to worry about? Huh? I mean, think about that. If He's got, you think, what does it matter how much hair you have on your head? Well, you've never been bald if you don't know the answer to that question. But apparently, it's according to God's order. Now, if He sees to those things, what about greater things than that? Huh? Your eternal soul, the provisions for this life and so forth. Be glad because of His judgments. That's what that means. He takes care of it. He's dealing with everything. He's taking care of everything. He judges people in righteousness. Now here, verse 12. Let's take a walk. Let's walk around this city. I'm not trying to be clever here at all. This jumped out at me. David said, walk about Zion. Go on. Take a walk. Walk about Zion. Take a little walk. And what we're going to do as we walk around this city is not only behold its beauty, but this we're going to see. And this is what we're going to see most of all. For our peace and for our comfort, we're going to see that this place is absolutely I mean, it's impregnable. And that's what we're going to see. For your comfort, you're going to see how that God protects this place. All right? Let's take a little walk. Verse 12 says, walk about Zion, go round about her, go all the way around her. And he says, now tell the towers thereof. Can you see David walking around the city? He's got a tour group with him. He does. That's what he's done here, didn't he? He says, look, count the towers. Tell, that's what that means. Scripture says God, He may tell the stars. That is, He counts the stars. He says, just look at those towers. Count. Look at them. Take a look at those towers. Now, a tower, these towers around Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a walled city, was a walled city. That's what bulwark is, a wall. But it was a walled city with towers set around in the wall. And what these towers were huge stone structures. Have you ever seen in any of these big places? You go over to China, the Great Wall of China,
what you'll see in various places in those walls is huge towers. Those things are massive. Big, square towers, broader at the base and they get narrower. Huge stone structures built on the rock. They build those big towers on the rock. They're built from the rock. Those towers are always built from the rock. Built of rock, of stone, on the rock. And those big towers, if you look at them, as I said, they're impregnable. That is, mean nobody can tear them down. They're fortresses. They're immovable. They're high and lofty. Those towers go way above the city. They're high and lofty habitations that overlook the whole. He said, count them. There's three. And I want you to behold them. Three. Representing our triune God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. Surrounding His people. Huh? Who's going to get near us? Who's going to come nigh us? Huh? There they are. There they stand. Towers. God is our refuge, David wrote. Our fortress, our salvation, our high tower. Our high tower. I told you about when I used to work on the railroad. Used to make a run from Russell, Kentucky to Columbus, Ohio all the time. That was our average or our everyday run. 113 miles. And I knew every cross tie by name after a while. At any rate, when we get into the yard at Columbus, Ohio, there was a place that rose above the whole yard. And it was called the High Tower. That's what we called it, High Tower. And we'd have to get permission from the High Tower to come into that place. We had to get permission to move that train. They tell us to stop. They tell us to go. They tell us to stop. They tell us to come in. They tell us to get off. They tell us to get it all from the High Tower. That rings a bell. So many times asking the High Tower for permission. For permission. But everything we receive from our hand, every good and perfect gift comes from our High Tower. Is that a good illustration? I don't know if it is or not. But everything we receive from above. We have to ask permission to come into this place. We have to ask permission. He tells us to go. He tells us to come. And we come. Turn to Isaiah 26 with me. Isaiah 26. I looked up at least a dozen scriptures concerning these towers. And I had to choose one. Just one. I wanted to read them all. But Isaiah 26. I can count several more towers. He said, count them. Count them all. There's three at least. There's 12 around this city. You count 12 towers? Watchtowers. Huh? Well, a tower is also a place where men sat up in these towers to watch. Watch for the enemy. Watch over the people. Huh? Watchtower. Watchman. Well, who was it that said that? Habakkuk, watchman, one of the night. He's up in that tower. I used to live out in the country. Really out in the country. By myself, a little A-frame cabin in the woods. And up on top of the mountain, if you look up on top of a grassy hill, way up on top of the mountain, you'll see one of these watchtowers. Somebody was asking me the other day, what is that? That's where men used to sit in those towers all day and all night and watch for fires. Is a fire lookout. Well, there was one of those where I lived. And I wasn't supposed to. I used to like to always go up and sit in that tower, that watchtower. Oh, you could see everywhere. You could see danger approaching. Watchmen, what of the night? There are many watchmen in the city. Watchmen. And those 12 apostles, there's 12 of them,
the prophets, and God has raised up many more. Watchmen. Look at, did I say 26? Well, let's just read it. I meant 62. Look at this. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint for walls and bulwark. These high towers is what I wanted to read. Over in Isaiah 62, it says, verse 6, it said, I've set watchmen upon the walls. Watchmen up in these towers, which shall never hold their peace day or night. They warn, they reprove, they rebuke, they instruct. Those that make mention of the Lord, they don't keep silent. Never. Until the Lord comes. Till the Lord comes. And then that's when they're going to cry, here he comes. He's coming. He's here. Go back to the text. But these watchtowers, I can count a lot of them, can you? Watchtowers, 66 of them at least. Okay. All right, he says, count them, the towers thereof. Look at those towers. Aren't they marvelous? And he says in verse 13, mark ye well her bulwarks. Mark ye well. If you have a marginal reference, what does it say? He says, set your heart to it. That is, take this to heart. Take heart. In other words, take heart, fearful believer. Take courage, fearful believer. I want you to look at those walls. Look at those walls around this city. Now, this is a fact. They did some archaeological... The walls that are over there now are not the original wall, but they did some excavation. Is that it? And down, and they went down, and they found some of the original walls. And you know how thick? 14 feet thick. 14 feet thick. No arrow is going to go through that. Huh? 14 feet. The description of the New Jerusalem describes the walls, doesn't it? I forget how high they were. Something like 145 feet. How high were they, Ed? Do you remember? I forget how high they were. But nobody could climb over the enemy. In other words, this place is surrounded by these huge fortress-like walls set for our defense. And there in Isaiah 26... I got my references in the wrong places. In Isaiah 26, he said that. That's what he said. These walls, God has set salvation for walls and bulwarks. That's what the word bulwark is, a wall. These walls are our salvation. This is a symbol of our salvation. These walls, our defense. It says, those who keep you in perfect peace if you dwell there. If you mark well. Now you tell me, people, those of you who dwell in Zion, tell me, how has the Lord protected you up to this point? How has He surrounded you? How has He compassed you about it? How has He? Well, Satan... He wanted to get at Job. You say, well, Job was a righteous man. So am I. So are you. You're in Christ. It said Satan wanted to get at Job. But Satan, thou canst smile at Satan's rage, Martin Luther. Satan said, I can't get to him. He wanted to get at old Job. He said, I can't get to him. You've hedged him up. You put a wall around him. I can't touch him. You say the word and I'll touch him. I'll get to him. God let him have him just for a little bit. No, even though he has touched his body and all his worldly goods, he can't touch. See, salvation's of the Lord. His soul is in God's hand. God said that well, don't touch his person. You can't have him. You might have everything, take everything away from him, but you can't have him. He's mine. We're compassed about with salvation. hedged about, a walled city. That's what Zion is. Verse 13 in our text says, mark it well. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. Consider her palaces. I got to quit. Consider her palaces. In this city are many dwelling places. Now, if it weren't so, he'd told us. Oh, that's right. Many, the Lord who counts the stars. Listen to this for your comfort. The Lord who can count the stars, who knows them all by name. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. How high can you count? You'll have to stop eventually, won't you, John? When God says many, that's many. Well, you reckon there's room for...
I reckon.
There's many. Many. Palaces. In the Father's house are many palaces, as in any beautiful city. And many beautiful dwellings. I wish we had time to consider how all of these palaces, that go into some of these palaces, how they represent different aspects of our Lord's character. The palace called Beautiful. John Bunyan has messages on this. His books are that thick. Read them. The palace is called Beautiful. The palace is called Goodness. Go in that place. Consider, look around that place a while. The goodness of the Lord. Just behold everything. The goodness of the Lord. Go in the palace called Mercy. Go back through your life and look at God's mercy. Palace called Truth, palace called Justice, palace called Love, palace called Mercy, Grace, palace called Kindness, Forbearance, and on and on. All these aspects of Christ's beautiful character, but these also represent the inhabitants of that city. Each one is a tabernacle made by God. You're the temple of the Lord, Scripture says. Each one is a glorious place built by God. But let's just consider just a few. Just a moment, okay? Just a few. Would you like to talk to Abraham? Anybody? Would you like to sit down and talk to Abraham? What an incredible man. That's just one. Joseph. Anybody? Would you like to talk to Joseph, Jenny? Oh, I'd love to talk to Joseph. Wouldn't you? David. Would you like to sit down with David? Just hear him say. Gabriel, would you like to hear David lay on his harp and sing Psalm 51? Or sing Psalm 23? Wouldn't you like to hear that? Wonderful man. I mean, a wonderful man. He's God's man. What about, who else did I write down here? Paul. Paul. What about Paul? What about Mary? What about Mary? What about Lydia? What about, who have I got written down here? Ellen. Fine woman. Linda. There's places up there with this name, these names. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful palaces, tabernacle, temples. God made them that way. Huh? He built them that way. He made them that way. He says, you mark it well. Consider her palace. Consider these people. Consider the Lord. Consider His people. Consider them well. Take it to heart. You're going to be there. That you may tell it to the generations following. Tell our children. Tell it to our children. Keep telling it. Vicki, where is she? She's in the nursery. Keep telling it. Abby. Deborah, keep telling them. The same thing. Until someday God gives them eyes to see. Ears to hear His voice. Behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire into His temple. Mandy, keep telling them. Keep telling them. Okay, keep telling them.
Keep telling. Tell the generation. Because this God. This God. Not another, but this God. It's our God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain and build it. This God who built this, who builds us up, this most holy faith, is our God. How long? Forever and ever. And I love, don't you love where it says God will rejoice over His people? That God will dwell with them there. Forever and ever. He'll be our guide. I told you, He's judging everything about it. He's our guide, even unto death. Guiding us. People don't want to be a puppet, do they? People that hate God's sovereignty, that's what they argue. You make man out to be a puppet. Do you want God holding on to you or what? Do you want God to let go of you? Call it a puppet if you will. If I'm cut off from Him, I'll fall. Just like a puppet. If I'm not drawn with cords, cords of love, cords of a man, if I'm cut off for a moment, if I'm left to myself for a moment, I fall. Ask David. Ask Peter. Ask them all. I'll be God's puppet. How about you? It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He'll be our guide. Don't go there. Don't go there. And whenever He lets us go, where it's for our good. If we wander, it's for our good. To show us that if left to ourselves, that if He doesn't guide us, we'll fall. But He's our guide, even unto death. And I like this thought. He'll guide us through that. Guide us through that. Because the Lord, Hebrews says, He came and was partaker of flesh and blood, that the children who all their lifetime subject to fear of death, that He might deliver them from that. And the disciples were so worried when the Lord told them He was going to die. They were so worried that they'd never see Him again. He said, don't worry. And He went to the grave and came out of the grave. He said, I went in there. You don't need to fear that. Because you're going to walk out just like I did. You're going to walk in through the veil into the other side. Would you like to go in the Holy of Holies? You just got to go through the veil. Veil of tears. Shadow of death. Into the Holy of Holies. And guide us right there. No sorrow. Stand with me. Stand with me.
Glorious things of Thee are spoken, Zion City of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed Thee for His own.
On the Rock of Ages.
On the Rock of Ages founded, what can shake our sure repose?
With salvation.
With salvation, walls surrounded, Thou canst smile at all Thy foes.
You need to go learn that, don't you? All right, you're dismissed.